Today we celebrate the visit of the Magi as they follow the star that leads them to Bethlehem. Tradition and custom have given us the notion that there were three of them and that they were wise men or perhaps kings. However, the Bible only says that they were Magi who brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wise men is probably too broad a term. Kings is frankly inaccurate, and even astrologers is a bit confusing for us today. These Magi were most likely Persian priests and scholars, and their gifts are associated with Arabia or the Syrian desert. Whoever they are, they follow the star out of curiosity, and their curiosity led them to Jesus, whom they worshiped. On their way, Matthew's gospel tells us that the Magi asked Herod where the child who was born king of the Jews may be found. And it's the first Herod is hearing about it, and he's terrified. Now, Herod was a masterful politician. He was particularly good at getting Jewish and Roman factions to bicker and fight, which helped him stay in control. Herod knew that a child born to be king of the Jews could cause civil unrest, and more importantly, could threaten his kingly claim. You did not want to be Herod's enemy, but as the Magi later discerned in their dream, you did not want to be Herod's friend either. We call the Magi wise, but by many accounts, they're foolish. Conventional wisdom does not commend following stars and looking for an impoverished baby and getting entangled with the likes of Herod. But their curiosity and their wonder led them there anyway. Something so amazing must have happened and of cosmic consequence that they would follow a star. Who is this baby that stars would rise? Their curiosity could not be contained, and so they journeyed to Bethlehem. The Magi are models for us as followers of Jesus. They want to know what amazing things God has done, and they find out through worship. To pay homage is to worship, and the best way for Jesus to be manifest is for us to worship him, to bring our gifts and to share his light with this world. What gifts do you bring to worship? Does what we offer cost us something? Do the gifts we offer to God come with conditions? As people of faith, we have a longing in our hearts to know God more and more. And like that of the Magi, it's our own curiosity. We know what amazing things God has done, and we still know that God is not yet done doing marvelous things. We offer our praise and our adoration in our daily prayers, in acts of charity, in our gratitude, and together corporately when we gather for the Holy Eucharist. Each Mass is itself a kind of epiphany because Christ's word and sacrament, Jesus Christ, is revealed in the proclamation of the gospel and in the sharing of his body and blood. And through the sacraments, we grow in grace, in his grace, and in his glory. Whether or not we know it's happening, his grace and goodness are affected in us. And the sacraments bring us closer to God and make us more and more like Jesus. And Christ's promise of an ending life in him is realized more deeply each time we are blessed and nourished with his body and blood. Ultimately, the Epiphany is tied to the Paschal mystery of Easter. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose life, death, and resurrection are the means of grace by which we are bound to God and saved from death and sin. And this certainly has cosmic effects. And we believe that there is nothing in all the world that can separate us from that love of God. It certainly isn't a promise that our life will be any easier than it was for Jesus, but it does promise the glory of the risen life of Christ, our promised destiny, and our ultimate reality. In the manifestation of Christ to the Magi and all the peoples of the earth, we understand Jesus as the light of the world. John's gospel says that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Perhaps like me, you have had the experience of going into a seldomly used dark space like a basement or an attic, and where you turn on the light, the creepy crawly things scatter and the spider webs are seen. It's like this. You see, when Christ, the light of the world, comes into our lives, scattering our darkness, the light is wonderful because we can see everything. But while we see everything, we also see the creepy crawly things in our lives. Light shows us a new reality, and most of us aren't happy with everything we see. And none of us likes to be shown our faults or shortcomings. But Christ's light shines to show us who we really are, and sometimes we don't like that. But the light of Christ's majesty drives away evil and reclaims us as children of the light and as beloved of God in Christ. Like our psalm for today, 84, says, Christ is both our sun and our shield. His light burns bright within us, and we reflect his glorious light into the world. Like the Magi following the star, may we continue to follow our faith's curiosities that draw us deeper into the mystery of God's love. May we bring our best selves and our efforts and our hearts and talents and abilities to our worship. And may our hearts burn bright with the light of Christ's love, that this dark world may be filled with his radiance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.